Well, you won't need me to tell you that it's November. It's damp, the nights are long, the leaves have fallen, and now is the season when we remember our dead. Last Sunday, All Saints. Guy Fawkes on November the 5th, and today, Remembrance. The day we honour those who have died in the service of this country in two world wars and in many conflicts since. There were mainly young men, a few young women too. And their loss is a melancholy business. There is always a sense of outrage at the death of the young, the waste, the promise unfulfilled, ambitions never achieved, marriages never made, children unborn, hopes dashed. The death of the young is always tragic. War is tragic. War is also inevitable. The history of the human race is a history of war. We know that sadly war is sometimes necessary to combat evil, never more so than in the Second World War. And then the heroism of those who sacrificed their lives to promote righteousness and justice is uplifting. General Sir Richard Dannatt, former Army Chief of Staff, is firm about that. We must only go to war to promote righteousness and justice, he says. We must only go to war if we are in the right. And what motivates the soldiers? Love of Queen and country? Richard Dannatt thinks not. Glory? No. The motivation is more to do with preserving the good name of the regiment, the community to whom the soldiers belong, that tight-knit band of brothers. You mustn't let your mates down. Your life depends on them. Their lives depend on you. Richard Dannatt believes that Christian tenets are vitally important. Courage, discipline, loyalty, integrity, selfless commitment, respect for others, including civilians. And when push comes to shove, when people are being killed, soldiers need to follow something far bigger than themselves. Than themselves, or the regiment, or the country. Something greater. For Richard Dannatt, that is the person of Christ. How does all this fit with today's gospel? Jesus calls the fishermen, Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John. John the Baptist had been arrested and imprisoned. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John had followed the Baptist. They were now leaderless and vulnerable to Herod's murderous whims. Jesus says to them and to us, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." As with our own war dead, these men followed Jesus and after him went on to suffer cruel deaths. We call them martyrs now. We remember them as those who suffered for their Christian faith. But the word martyr originally meant witness. Jesus said, "I will make you fish for people. And so they did, bringing others to faith in Christ. In the end, what they believed, what they followed, the defeat of evil was more important, more glorious than life itself. So too for those we shall be remembering later on today. I'm going to finish with a story, and I apologize if I've told you this one before, I sometimes forget. In my last post, as well as being rector of a large rural benefice, I was an officiating chaplain to the forces. One of my church wardens was Pat, a Cockney barrow boy when he enlisted in A Company 14 Platoon 2nd Battalion, the Royal Green Jackets. Pat served all over the world, including several tours of Northern Ireland. But his very first tour of duty in the 1960s took him to Malaya, in particular to the jungles of Borneo, where there was a bitter war being waged with, in appalling conditions, against those we would now call insurgents. A new recruit to the battalion was Rifleman Tony, cheerful, gregarious. It was Christmas, and the custom was that single soldiers got invited for meals to the PADS, P-A-D-S, the married quarters. Tony, a bachelor, did the rounds. Invited everywhere, he ended up with Pat and his wife Brenda on Boxing Day. "This is the bestest Christmas I have ever had," exulted Tony. "Why is that?" asked Pat. "I'm home. The regiment is my family," said Tony. "I've never had a home." Tony was a Barnardo's boy. Not long after, the platoon was sent on a dangerous mission patrolling the Rudong River. The river curved round in a huge bend. It would be a hazardous half-day's march along its banks. Precious time could be saved by swimming across the river. The two strongest swimmers, Tony and Jim, volunteered. Immediately, both men disappeared under the water. Jim never resurfaced. Tony came up once and shouted back to his mates on the bank. What did he call out? He did not shout, "Help! Save me!" Tony shouted, "Don't come in! Don't anyone come in!" He was never seen again. Unknown to the men, a powerful current sucks along the Rudong River, as treacherous as the jungles that line its banks. Tony's last thoughts were not for his own life, but to save the lives of those he loved the most. And in doing that, Tony found his way home at last. The psalmist says, "God alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, so that I shall not be shaken. In God is my safety and my honour. God is my strong rock and my refuge. Amen.